Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Jason Williams alongside Sherry Coolidge. I'm thinking back to 2018, but no Sherry here.
What, wait a minute. Who let him in the studio, Sherry?
What's going on here?
Why are you here? Why are you thinking back to 2018?
Is it possible that this is the 300th episode of That's So Cincinnati?
All right, let's look.
According to Phil,
are you serious?
Silent Phil says it is. So it is.
On the ones and twos. Here we are. Well, Jason, thanks for coming in for the 300th episode.
Thanks for having me. Isn't it crazy to think 2018? I mean, all time has been just so crazy post-pandemic, and that was...
Yeah, in my mind, 2018 was like 3 years ago. Not, what, almost seven?
Almost seven. The first episode was August 14th, 2018.
We did like a pilot, and then our first kind of big one was like right after late.
Oh, I remember pilot. That. I didn't go back and listen. I might have to.
This was PDJ, Paul Daner Jr., his big baby. He went to Burl and was like, hey, I have this idea. And then he and I went to O'Malley's in the Alley, and he pitched it to me. He's like, this is an opportunity for you to, you know, talk more politics, and let's have guests and see where it goes from there. It's, you know, not, we'd already been doing a sports podcast. We'd been doing the Bengals podcast. So this was our non-sports news
podcast. Yeah. And I thought it was a fantastic idea.
I was like, boom, on board.
Let's do it.
And then he said, like, yeah, Burl's gonna...
It was a different time for so many reasons, but the main reason is everyone didn't have a podcast then.
Right.
And now a lot of our guests have their own podcasts.
He's like, Burl gave me this like lucrative Apple podcast, like, you know, 4-year deal too. And I was like, let's go.
Oh, no. Yeah. When all the money started rolling in.
So. Weird, because you still sit next to me in the newsroom, but okay.
So for our listeners' benefit, for the 300th episode, we're going to shatter the format. Because I was big on format. That was my first feedback to you guys.
He's always on me about it.
You guys are great, but you're a little rambly. I think we need to, like, you know, have a format. Yeah. So I'm not adhering to my own professional direction now. We're just throwing the format out the window. We're going to reminisce of, you know, over 300 episodes of the podcast. Got some surprise guests line up.
We do, and we'll let them be surprises. They are.
Yes.
I would say friend of the show at this point, because they're big newsmakers and they have been on multiple times. So they're kind of the friend of the shows. Although I was the first friend of the show.
You were the friend.
Because Jason and Paul, amazing as they are at actually doing the podcast, were a little lax on the guests. And so they would come over to my desk
and be like, hey,
what's going on at City Hall? Can you be the guest today? And I'd be like, when are we recording? And they would be 5 minutes from now. And I would always say yes.
And that was really the early days of the podcast was, look, we wanted to really highlight just in podcast form the great work our news team was doing, our political team, you, Sherry on City Hall, the great watchdog reporting that we were doing on various different things. So we had Jesse Ballmer on a lot. We had you, remember we had Hannah Sparling on some. I think she was covering transportation at the time.
No, what was she really covering? The streetcar. That was like the
streetcar.
Early that favorite was, subject.
That was the first Don't whipping get me boy.
Come on, y'all.
The first whipping boy of the
Why
podcast.
Why do you think I brought it up, Jay?
I didn't see that in the script here.
All of that, you know, the streetcar ding ding was the early kind of like I really believe the podcast started to like get a stride with that, because you guys were tapping into the conversations real people were having and answering questions and kind of like peeling back the curtain a little bit in terms of what do we talk about when we discuss our coverage, you know.
Yep.
Is it fair, is it balanced? And this gave you in particular a a format to let people know what you really thought about it.
Yeah.
Because you are a huge fan and supporter of the streetcar.
But I mean, you had streetcar
t-shirts made and...
But I'm lying. But you're right, though.
The listeners know. They remember.
But you're right, though. I mean, because sometimes people are like, where are you coming from on that? You write a column and you think you've explained everything, but then you only have so much room to write, you know, your words. And so this was an opportunity to kind of expand on, if I had written something provocative about the streetcar or something else, like I was able to further explain where I was coming from on that topic or that issue. So that has been one of the great benefits of the podcast. And then when we start bringing guests in, that was where, like, I feel like it really blew up, because even though a lot of times we interview in our daily work, a lot of these folks that we had on, this was the ability to offer different questions, another side of I'm thinking, I know we want to get into some of the past guests, but just, I don't know what it is about this format, but people have opened up a lot here at these very microphones, like we've never heard or seen a lot of these folks that we've covered for many years ever do before.
No, I've said it before on the podcast. My favorite thing about it is that people can tell their stories in their own voice. I can write until I'm blue in the face, and I do. But you have tone matters, you know, and it's their every word about something. And this podcast is never meant to be contentious. At times it has turned that way, but for the most part, it's not. It's giving people a voice. You know, people are like, well, what about this question? Or what about that question? That's for when I sit at my desk and I interview them, and everyone in the newsroom knows that I can be really tough. But this is not a grilling. This is letting people talk and have their say and really explain to people and their own feelings. And I love that about this podcast.
It's a conversation that I think a lot of our readers would love to have with some of the newsmakers, that we, you know, in a casual, let them, you know, in their own words, talk about what's going on, what motivates them, what their struggles are. And we've had, I have forgotten some of these guests. All right. Hold up. Sherry, is your phone ringing?
I think it is. You know what?
Who is it?
It's the mayor. I have to get it.
You can blow him off.
No.
This is
no.
All right.
Does he know I'm here?
Hi, Mayor. It's Sherry.
Sherry, it's Aftab. Happy 300. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm happen to be recording right now.
300 episodes. You know, you've had a revolving door of co-hosts, but you've been the person the entire time. I'm so happy.
I came a little bit later, but you're forgiven for known, because it was it was much lower key then. Like now, you know, I give it all the publicity.
I was just trying to give Burl a hard time. Burl, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Yeah, Sherry's the glue, Aftab. You know that. And we've got Jason. We're going old school. We got Jason Williams here with us.
Mayor. Amazing. Jason Williams, how you been, buddy?
Good, man. I miss you.
I miss you too, man. You're doing a great job.
I'm sure you do.
You know, it's weird. Everyone tells me that on the regular, Jason. They say they miss your political column.
No, seriously, that's great. It's great to hear your voice and great to have you.
Yeah, Sherry is definitely the clubhouse guy, keeping it all together.
Definitely.
So, Mayor, the first episode was August 2018.
Oh my goodness!
You were an early guest. You were running for U.S. representative.
Can you believe I did that? What a competitive move! Oh my god! I wish I could have a time machine to go back to that time. That was a crazy time. That was nuts, but thankfully Landsman's now in office doing a great job, and I can be mayor, which is a fantastic job.
I think everyone is kind of in the role where they need to be. Honestly, at this moment, like Greg's personality is so perfect for walking in the house with all of the craziness that's going on, because he's so even tempered when it comes to the politicals.
He's just like a normal, great guy. Yes. It's perfect.
I only have one question for you, Mayor.
Yeah, shoot.
And it's a tough one.
Let's hear it.
I know we're doing a 300 celebrating everything, but I think this is a serious policy question. So,
okay, all right.
In 2016, that was when you first ran for clerk of courts, right?
That's right. 2016. Yeah,
I remember one of the things that first thing you told me was that you had put 30 some thousand miles on your Jeep Cherokee, right? That year during that campaign, just around Hamilton County. Do you still have that car?
I don't. I drove that thing into the ground, and at that time, Jason, if you recall, I was single. I was unmarried, no kids. And the Cherokee's a good family car, but now I've got two kids with all their crap, as you well know, with your boys. And I went a little bigger. So now I drive a Lincoln Aviator, three-row SUV, Union made, and it's a hybrid. But I love that car. The Lincoln, does a great job. Although, I get flagged down because people think I'm an Uber all the time. So that's a little embarrassing. But other than that, it's been a great ride.
Go big or go home. I'm a big truck, big SUV guy.
If
I could say this, like that was the one thing. And again, I know we're laughing about it, whatever, but that to me just told me how badly you wanted that. And you were, I just remember, you came out of nowhere. You had been a lawyer at P&G and you were a newcomer to politics, and you were taking on the Tracy Winkler, a big name in Hamilton County politics. And when you said you put 30,000, I mean, I was just blown away by that. That is someone who absolutely wanted it. And you got it. And here you are today, the mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
Mayor, I have one question for you, and then you won't believe who just walked in the studio, but your buddy Brendan Call with a bag of graders.
The CEO and president of the chamber. You got the big guest today.
He was not that when we started the podcast, although I can't tell you how many times Inquirer reporters called him that in stories by accident, and he'd have to call me and be like, that's not my title, but it is now.
So, Mayor, before we let you go, and we know you have counsel now because Sherry does too, my question for you is, will you be running the Thanksgiving Day race again this year?
Oh, my gosh. You're hitting me with the hard ones. Last year, I got bullied into it. It sounds like I'm going to get bullied into it this year. Yes, I will at least do the 5K, bro. How about that?
All right.
I'll see you there. Jeff Birding.
He'll want to hear that. All right. Well, Mayor, thanks for calling in.
Hey guys, happy 300. Here's to another 300.
I don't know if I can do it.
Oh, yeah, we can. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. See ya.
See you guys.
Sherry, your phone is ringing again.
You know, the Coolidge boys would tell you I'm on the phone all day. Let me just grab it.
Who is it?
Jeff Birding. I just mentioned him.
Jeff Birding. You better get that.
Jeff, hey. We're recording the podcast, but how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Guess what today is?
At the airport, I just wanted to call and say hi.
Well, it's a very big day here at the Inquirer. It's the 300th episode of That's So Cincinnati.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's so awesome. A lot of work, which you know all about.
It's an important podcast to keep people informed of what's going on in our wonderful community. So it's a great show, and congratulations on keeping it going this long.
Guess who our most recorded guest is?
Brendan Call or FTAT, probably.
Nope. It's you. You have been on the podcast 4 times.
Does that mean if I'm on one more time, I get a gold jacket or something?
We've talked about this. In fact, this conversation about the Five Timers Club, the SNL skit for hosts, led to us, all kidding aside, we said we have to do something for our repeat guests. So we developed, because of you, Jeff, asking for your gold jacket, the official That's So Cincinnati coffee mug.
Yeah.
Which now we give to every guest, but yes.
I grew up on the West Side. I take whatever gifts I get. It's been very fortunate,
Yeah.
I love it.
Since 2018, you have made a lot of news since we started. Of course, you already had FC Cincinnati at that point, but now you're co-CEO of FC Cincinnati. You've been the president of the Visit Cincy board. You're on the board of Xavier, right?
Xavier, St. X Art Museum, and CRBC.
You have done a lot. You won the Shield last year. It's been a wild ride, Jeff.
Well, I am honored. I really am. I'm blessed. I love this city from the time I was a boy and growing up with the Big Red Machine, and anything I can do that serves and makes this community better for my kids and their kids someday is an honor for me.
Well, I know that about you for sure. You know who else is here? As long as you, since you're on the phone, I'm with Jason. Jason is here.
Hey, Jeff.
Is that Jason you said?
Jason Williams.
Jeff, you brought him over from sports.
I did.
I mean, he was the founding host of That's So Cincinnati. So
I guess he has to be on the anniversary one.
Absolutely.
Okay. Jeff, I'm thinking about the arc of news that all the news things you've been involved in. And I was going back through the episodes and I'm like, y'all, right. Oh, there was that. And then one of the episodes we had you on was the push that you made to get the World Cup here. And to this day, still just, you know, huge props on all the efforts you put in that.
Well, thank you. You know, but this coming year in 25, we're going to have the Club World Cup. So we're not going to have Argentina and England and Spain, but we will have Real Madrid and Man City and Liverpool. So we're awesome. Still going to have some of the biggest soccer clubs in the world coming to Cincinnati to play competitive matches at TQL Stadium in the West End.
And we might have a women's team, which is why I called you earlier, and we'll talk about later, right? But aren't we on the short list?
I'm confident, regardless of this expansion process, I'm confident we're going to have a women's team added to the, you know, now three major league teams, and the women's team will be four. I'm confident that that's going to happen.
You know, like, kind of piggybacking off that too, like you've for folks that maybe don't know, like the work you've done on the board, all the boards you've been on to continue to work on bringing more events here and big, massive events. I know the NFL draft is one that's on the list. Are you confident we will get that at some point?
Yes, I am. We're going to have a new sports commission in 2025, and I think the sports commission is ideally suited for these sorts of things. And of course, the Bengals ownership has made it clear that they'd like to do it, and they're working with Visit Cincy. So you get the Visit Cincy, the Bengals sports commission down on the banks would be certainly a great place to host it now with a music venue. So yeah, I think it's
MLS All-Star Game is another one too. I was thinking about.
Well, we will definitely have the MLS All-Star Game. That's predetermined. It's just a question of what year.
Gotcha.
And obviously we're trying to get our mixed use development going in a tough environment, but of course we also need the new convention hotel. So, you know, you throw all those things together and, you know, we have a lot of great opportunities ahead of us as a city.
Definitely.
All right. Well, that means you're going to be a 5-time guest for sure.
Well, I look forward to coming back. Okay.
All right. And thanks so much.
I'll work on the gold jacket, Jeff.
Fair enough. Thank you, Burl.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, everyone. See ya. Take care. Bye.
So speaking of repeat offenders,
careful.
I don't know. I don't know if everybody realized that while all these people are calling in, that Brendan Call from the chamber walked in with a grater's cake with a big 300 on it. Thank you, Brendan.
No problem.
It's not
everybody
deserves graters.
It's not
an anniversary without a cake.
Do you know what this is, though?
What?
That's So Cincinnati, that because it's graters.
It is a graters cake.
It's beautiful.
Jason was just talking about when we had Chip Grater on.
Rich
Grater. Chip would be appropriate. They should name someone Chip, right? There should be a kid named Chip.
Is there a
Chip Grater?
There is a Chip Grater.
Oh, yeah, Rich.
But we had Rich.
It's appropriate. Yeah.
Well, thanks for dropping by. Thanks for the cake. We were feverishly trying to count up appearances. It looks like your official number is three.
I know of three. We can find of three. But, you know, I show up all sorts of places.
You pop in all the time.
We're going to protest that, I think.
Protest?
Officially.
We go
officially
to the VAR.
Appeal to silent.
Go to the
Phil.
VAR.
I mean, Jeff Burdings, he played it off, but he's very competitive about this.
Yes, so he
is officially a 4-time guest, as we just determined. You're officially, for now, a 3, but under review.
Under review. That's fine.
Under review.
I mean, I'm with Jeff. I think the red jacket, like SNL, is a good idea. But I wanted to come and say congratulations to you all. I mean, this is it's a big deal to have a podcast. You know, there are a lot of podcasts that start and everyone's like, oh, let me have a podcast. And, you know, three episodes later, it kind of fizzles out. But 300, that's a real deal.
Burl is not only a co-host, he is very, he wants us to do this. Because it's easy to be like, we're in the news cycle, I have a lot of stuff to do, and we're not going to have it. But then the next week's just as busy. But we do skip some weeks, otherwise we'd have more than 300 at this point. But he was like, no, you need to be consistent so people can find the podcast. And so we really, we prioritize it.
It's the hardest thing is about a podcast. We did a one early on when I joined the chamber where we interviewed in 2017 every single person who was running for city council. And if you remember, if you go back that far, you know, it was only 10 people who ran this time. It was 24 people who ran for city council back in 2014. But it is or 2017. It's just really hard to keep that consistent going.
So we appreciate all of the guests. There's no favorites, but
oh, we have favorites. We're gonna get into that.
I love what you're doing with the chamber because it's that nexus of all the work that you've done in business and in politics. As you know, you're one of those people, like, and that's where it's at. That's where the action is, where business and politics meet. And so that's a. It doesn't surprise me that you're thriving in that role and doing great things because you've developed relationships in both worlds and the things you're doing with Blink. We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Four Blinks under the belt since the podcast started. And there's, you know, there's so much happening. Your readers know I was talking to Sidney Franklin about the arena study. And, you know, this is a moment when our community has such huge momentum.
Yeah.
And we have got to just keep our foot on the gas because there's so many good things. You heard what Jeff was talking about, a women's soccer, NFL draft. We've got
Sundance.
Yeah. There's so much happening right now. And it's really a privilege to be at an organization that gets to, you know, help connect people. But the tableau for it all is this great city that we live in with people who are here making things happen. And so, you know, to be able to connect people, it's great. But I sometimes stand in awe of the leaders in this community who are just putting themselves on the line to get big things done.
That momentum hasn't always been the case. You were talking, Jason was talking about your kind of your career in politics and now at the chamber. When I first met you, you weren't Brendan from the chamber. You were Brendan from the mayor's office.
And you were Burl from Sin Weekly.
Oh, my. Now we're going back to the aughts.
That's
all
right.
All right. Well, I was Sherry, the courts reporter.
That's right. That's right.
I first learned of you from when Bill Cunningham would randomly call
yes.
Charlie Lucan's office.
Get Brendan on the phone.
Yeah.
Mayor, how are you? What's this cow running around?
Have you had Bill Cunningham on this podcast?
We have. He was
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The cow. The cow.
Charlene Mookin, has he Since called he, it.
Yeah. The
do
cow.
You remember, I do Charlene remember. Mookin?
Yeah.
I didn't. I was young. I was still pretty new. I didn't really even know.
Were you his chief
of Mount Storm?
No, were you his chief of staff?
No, Bernadette Watson was his chief of staff, who's a wonderful
Love
woman.
Bernadette.
She's an awesome lady. I did. I was actually press secretary and legislative director.
Gotcha.
You know, and a lot happened during that time frame. And I say all the time, I was very fortunate to work for a guy like Charlie Lucan, who, speaking of somebody who knew how to interact with business and politics and civic and nonprofit, I mean, he knew how to bring everybody together. And you could disagree if you want with some of the things that he did, but he certainly knew how, he is very, you should have him on this podcast because he is somebody who's got such
he's
great history.
No, we're okay.
No. He's right. got such great history in this town. He knows how this place works and in a way, and he's used that knowledge for a lot of good.
I think he was on once. You guys, it does blend together. Like we had Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney on just a couple weeks ago. And both of us were like, it's so great that you're finally on. Well, she's been on before and she forgot and I forgot.
As our friend.
It's just, it blends together because also because I interview so many people like all the time. And
sure.
It's like, what was a podcast interview and what was just an actual interview?
Right.
As our friend Rory Glenn, former sports reporter and editor here, once said, we all want to be Charlie Lucan, but he thought of it first.
Oh, that is great.
That's a good line.
That's a Rory, isn't it?
That's a good one. So.
Yeah.
No, we need a line about you, Brendan.
No, that's okay. No lines. No lines.
Well, it's testimony to how plugged in you are to the city, not just because of your job. I mean, it's kind of an occupational hazard, but the fact you've been on our podcast unofficially three times, probably more, speaks to how involved you are, but also your willingness to talk up the city, make sure people know what's going on, I think if you weren't the president of the chamber, a better title would be cheerleader in chief. And you okay. do it well. You do
I
like it well. It.
I love this place. I moved here almost 30 years ago to come to Xavier University. I've never left. And there's so much happening here. It is such a great city with such great history and great people. And if a side benefit of doing this job is helping other people get connected into how to do things here, that's what I hope to be able to do in the long run, because there's people who are moving here today. There's a moving truck somewhere of somebody showing up in Cincinnati right now, whether it's to take a job or to go to school at UC. And someday they might have an opportunity to do something like what Jeff Birding did. And if we can give them the blueprint for how to make that kind of big change happen, then we'll be an even better city 50 years from now.
Well, on that note, we should let you go.
Eat the cake.
We will eat the cake. Where's the ice cream?
For sure.
I couldn't bring the ice cream today, but I'll tell you.
If you have not,
I'm going to go to, I'll tell you. If you have not had the cinnamon ice cream from Grater's right now, their flavor of the month, that stuff is awesome.
That is my favorite special flavor.
The cinnamon?
Oh, yeah. Wow. We're learning something about
some
girls.
People are all about the peach, you know.
I like the peach a lot.
Peach is good.
And cinnamon's the best. Lemon meringue s'mores. Pie.
That's my absolute
and you
favorite.
And you want to take that cinnamon ice cream, and then you want to get a nice dollop of Cool Whip. And that brand, you want the old-fashioned tub of Cool Whip right on top.
Did you say
perfect.
Cool Whip? Or
Cool Whip. Cool
I grew
whip.
Up in the 70s. I know what Cool Whip is.
Well, thanks again, Brandon.
Happy 300, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, BC. Good to see you.
Cool.
All right. Wow. This has been exciting. The mayor called, Birding called, Brendan brought a cake. And I was just getting ready to go down the list of some of our most noteworthy guests.
Ooh.
And it is sort of like a who's who of Cincinnati. Jungle Jim, Buddy LaRosa, Thane Maynard, Emily Henry. Pete Rose, that was when you were here, Jason. Let's talk about Pete for a minute.
Yeah, not one of our, this is just from my take, and I didn't feel like that was one of our better guests. I thought that was an interview that went off the rails a little bit. It was Pete rambling a lot, and when we started to ask some tough questions, a handler jumped in, and we didn't even know the handler was on the phone. And, but I think that all makes as part of this, like there's no
safety net.
No, there isn't. There's no preconceived, like, we're going to ask you this and this or off limits and this, this is journalism. That's not what we do. And when we're writing a story, or that's not what we do here. So,
we have had some tough conversations, as much as I say, they mostly are pretty light, but you know, the mayor has faced some tough questions on this podcast. Greg Landsman has faced some tough questions.
I was
going to
mention the Greg Landsman one, yeah.
And so it does veer into that. Tom Brenneman was on after everything that happened with the Reds and him leaving the Reds. So he was on at that point. That was a tough conversation. So we do what you can't, honestly, if we have these guest books and something happens, we don't ignore it. Like we might talk about some other things too, but you can't ignore news. I'm still a reporter. Burl's still an editor.
And because of the format, we don't want to surprise and got you our guests, you know? So usually there's a conversation ahead of time. And we're talking about Pete Rose. When we interviewed Johnny Bench not too long ago, I asked him, I said, are there any topics off limits, knowing damn well what he was going to say? And he did not disappoint. He said, if you ask me about Pete, I'm walking out of here.
And in my head, I was like, no, we should have just not said, but that was okay. And you know
I've seen him do it.
He did, but just shortly thereafter, of course, Pete died. And he did talk about him then. And he talked about the complicated relationship. And he really didn't sugarcoat things and be like, we were besties. He talked about how real it was.
You mentioned the Greg Landsman episode. That was an intense episode, and I got a ton of feedback on that. And even I still remember
it's one of our most listened to episodes.
I mean, I was mad. I was like, I kind of approached that episode the way I was approaching some of my columns at that time. It was in the wake of a lot of the stuff that was going on at City Hall back then, and. You know, I was fired up and asked Landsman a lot of really tough questions. And to his credit, he maintained his composure and had thick skin about it and answered all the questions. And I left that. And again, this is just one of those behind the scenes types of things. I left that thinking, I don't know if we can run that or I'm going to get in trouble. And I remember going to our managing editor at the time, our news director, and he listened to it and he was like, that was fantastic. And I was like, oh, okay, we're good. And then I got a bunch of nice emails.
Well, you were real
off of
and he was real.
Yeah, totally.
So speaking of guests, Sherry, do you have a favorite guest or one that just, I won't say favorite. It's kind of like they're like our children, right? You can't say you have a favorite child, but you know you do, right?
A highlight for me was Marty Brenneman.
Yeah?
A highlight.
Oh, really?
You know, he said his famous line, and I can't say it like he does. This one belongs to the Reds, and his voice.
Sherry, you want to ask the last question, Marty, so the floor is yours.
Sherry?
Can you say it for us?
And this one belongs to the Reds.
I fangirled a little bit, and, you know, he was leaving the Reds at this point and retiring, although it's unclear if he actually did retire. He's so much a part of the organization still. I asked him to sign the front page where he was on there and everything. I have it framed at my house.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was I was fanboying as well. I mean, as I told him on that podcast, I was one of those kids that had the radio on late at night listening to games when I should have been in bed, hoping that my parents didn't hear. And it was his voice, him and, you know, Joe Nucksall. And so to, like, get to meet him and, you know, interview him.
Well, Jason
interview
was
him
my
at
co-host.
The point of his retirement where he could reflect on his Hall of Fame career, that was... That was a good guest. What about you, Jason? Guess. Is there a guest?
Can I say something about Marty?
Of course.
I've known Marty since I was an intern at the Cincinnati Post in 1998. And this is a story that people from back then would know. The editor sent me down to the Reds were on a really bad run. I think they had lost 10 games in a row and their hitting was awful. And Ken Griffey Sr. was the.
You're talking about this season, though.
Ken Griffey Sr. Was a was the hitting coach then, and I went up to him in the cage during batting practice to ask him. And this is my first time, I believe, at Riverfront Stadium, whatever it was at the time.
Young Synergy Jason, Field. I can picture it.
My first time to go there as a reporter, and I go up to Senior at the batting cage because you could do that at the time as a reporter, and I said, "Hey, you know, I think I called him Ken." Introduce myself, and he's like, yeah, give me a minute, I'm watching this, and then I'll talk to you. So then a couple minutes go by and he does a beeline to the tunnel, and I'm like, oh, he must have some time to talk, which was, again, I haven't covered baseball at this time yet. So I go back in through the tunnel, through the dungeon that was under the bowels of Synergy Field, and he's back in the coach's locker room changing into his regular clothes, and I'm like, what? I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but I know this is probably pretty odd. The game's in a couple hours, and I stick my nose in there and I was like, hey, do you have a minute? And he jumps up and gets in my face and starts just going off, and I'll never to this day forget the look in his eyes. Like, and he is a big man, and I don't get intimidated very easily. I was intimidated that day, and it turned, the story became about me and him, like that he quit the team. He actually said to me, he quit. So I had a scoop, but it turned in, it was part of me being the story. Like, well, what did you do? And I'm like, I didn't do anything. And I was scared, and I'm like, all these reporters around, like, I'm a part of the story, and you never, and one of the big rules of journalism, which has all been kind of blown up now, but you're never part of the story. And Marty was one. So he came back to the team the next day, apologized, whatever. And he then held a big press scrum, and the editor made sure, like, you need to be there for it to show, like, this, you didn't do anything wrong and that this is important. Marty Brenneman was one of the first people that approached me after all this happened. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. He gave me some great words of advice about standing up for yourself and you know, being a professional, and I never forgot that. And I also had listened to him growing up. And anyway, long story short, Marty, just you talk about Marty was a great episode, and he always is. And yeah,
that was my Marty story. Who was your favorite guest?
My favorite guest, hands down, was Rich Grader from Grader's Ice Cream. And it honestly, I feel like it was one of the best interviews I've ever done in my career. I don't know why. I think part of it was that we don't hear from the Grader's family very often. And I still get emails sometimes from Rich on like my sports columns. And I told him this, I don't know, it was maybe 3-4 months ago, he'd emailed me about something. And I told him, I was like, hey, you're my all time favorite podcast guest. And he didn't write back and say, oh, free ice cream for life or anything like that. No, I'm just kidding.
So many businesses back in that turn of the century, you usually made the product in the back room, sold it in the front room, and lived upstairs. But then he met my great grandmother Regina, who was quite a bit younger than he was. But she, I think, was the real tough businessman, because for 50 years, he died in 1919 in a streetcar accident. That's kind of why I'm not a fan of the streetcar.
Oh, wow.
We said we weren't talking about the streetcar this week, but here we are, everyone. Back to it.
Well, this was the other street, the old streetcar. But so in the 50 years that he ran the business, he had one store. And when he married my great-grandmother, they lived in Walnut Hills on McMillan Street. And again, they lived in the back, made it in the back, sold it in the front, lived upstairs. And when he died a couple years later, you know, this is a time, it's 1919, women didn't run businesses. And and I don't even think women had the right to vote yet. I think in 1919 is when that happened. But she wasn't, you know, just, she was going to keep it going. So yeah. The first thing she did was open a new store, and that's our Hyde Park store. That was our first second store.
Yeah.
So she had the business for all of 3 years, and she did something that he didn't do in the first 50, and kept opening stores. And so that was really her thing. And her other big innovation was she kept the French pot freezer.
Yes.
And that, so people say, well, what's the secret recipe to Grader's? And, you know, well, yeah, right, there is a secret recipe, but it's ice cream, milk, cream, sugar, and eggs.
Yep.
But the real secret is how we make it, and that's called the French pot freezer. And we use that same process today. So we're making ice cream just 2.5 gallons at a time per batch. Now, the difference is back then, you know, they might have had one or two French pots. Mm-hmm. And now I think we have 37, and they're running 10 hours a day, or 10 hours a shift, two shifts a day, so 20 hours a day. And we have modern refrigeration to keep it cold, of course. But
No more metal buckets.
Yeah, no, well.
But it was just, like, I think because it opened up this whole, like, story about the Grader's family. And he, again, you don't hear much from the Grader's family, and understandably so. These are hardworking, family focus people who are driven to make the absolute best ice cream they can. They're not out there tooting their horn in the media all the time. They're in the factory in Roselawn area, making the best ice cream in the world. But if I can piggyback off that as well, I feel like my favorite episodes were all. That was number one. But then a lot of my favorites that stand out are the family food business, episodes, where we would have someone on from, you know, all the Cincy favorites. And I don't want to get too far into it. But just because it this was a platform for those folks to tell the generations of the story of the generation of how you started your company and what it's become today. And I don't know, it really resonated with me. Burl, how about you?
I've got a lot. You know, my favorite episode was when we had Jeff Harris, the chef of Nolia, on. And during the recording of the podcast, he got the phone call. Telling him that he was a finalist for the James Beard Award.
This was not planned at all. He came in the office and he was a little bit quiet. And I was like, how you doing? And he's like, well, I'm really nervous. And I was like, well, how come? He's like, oh, we're going to find out the James Beard finalists in a little bit. And I was like, well, you're on the podcast. He's like, I'm good to still do it, though. And so, but the call came in during that.
That's awesome.
So we had a lot of that, you know, while we were recording. And then we took a break and he called his mom.
Oh.
And I was crying.
It was so great.
He's like, Mom.
It was so great.
It was so, you were crying like a baby.
I was. I've cried a couple times.
You've cried on this podcast. You're sort of like the reverse Barbara Walters. Uh-huh. You know how Barbara Walters used to make her guests cry?
Uh-huh. This is true.
Our guests make you cry.
I've not made anyone cry.
You know, I loved when we interviewed Danny Graves.
That because, I know of.
Because we got to talk about how when he holds the record for the most saves on the Cincinnati Reds. And when he left the Reds as a player, it wasn't under the best of circumstances. It was booze. He had, I think, didn't he flip off the crowd?
Flipped off the crowd,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And so,
I think, you know, I was with you that day.
Yeah.
Sherry was out and I filled in for
him. I don't know him.
And so the occasion of interviewing Danny Graves was the fact that he was going to be inducted to the Reds Hall of Fame. And we talked about how the world seemed to put itself back into order a little bit that day because, you know, great guy, great player, gave his heart to the team, unfortunately ended on a sour note. And the fact that his induction to the Hall of Fame sort of like, you know, brought it full circle and made it, you know, just made things right. But my favorite guest, as far as I just was laughing my, you know, ass off the whole time, was when we had Dean Gregory. So we have a theme here, Jason, you know, the founders of some of Cincinnati's most iconic restaurants and foods. Dean talked about how back in the day when his father, Ted Gregory, the, you know, when you see the logo on the boathouse or at Montgomery Inn of the profile of a guy with a crown smoking a cigar, that's Ted Gregory, his dad. And now the second generation of Gregory's are keeping the businesses going. He talked about what it was like working for Ted and the shenanigans as he and his brother used to pull off.
Yeah, you know, great.
When they were
working. I was with you that day too.
Yeah, that was. I was in tears. I was laughing.
That
so
was,
hard.
That was great. Yes.
Yeah.
On Sunday night, we would close. We would close at 9 o'clock on Sundays. By 10 o'clock, all of our buddies would start showing up. We'd have card games in there. I remember a couple times. We moved all the tables out of the dining room, and we had boxing matches in there. We'd be in there drinking beer, boxing each other. It was like...
Like Fight Club?
Oh, yeah. Like, wow. We were like the luckiest. We had, what a great clubhouse for kids to have, whatever. But, and we'd always clean up, and, you know, and hell, we didn't get out of there until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, probably. My father would be there at 6 every day. We would clean up. Everything would be spotless. And the next morning, we would get a call, which one of you idiots was here last night? And I would always blame Tom, and he would always blame me.
All right. Well.
Well, I do want to give it, you know, there are some memorable moments, too, that are like, you can't have a favorite guest. We had Thane Maynard on, the 92nd naturalist, who my mom always had NPR on in the car. Always. And so, like, I'm in high school when that started, and I can just remember that, and then to hear his voice and see him like up close, even though I've like seen him at the zoo and maybe even interviewed him like on occasion, but to have him here on the podcast was pretty amazing.
You know, another guest that sticks out in my mind is Mel Gravely. He owns a construction company in town. But we were talking with him. He wrote a book.
His book was so great.
A book called, you know, Dear White Friend. Mm-hmm. And another time where, you know, we really got into some.
You know who gave me that book? Brendan.
That's amazing. It's a great book to read, you know, written by a black business owner, a black executive, reflecting on what it's like to be not just a minority, but, in that orbit, you know, there is not too many people like Mel. And it's just a very direct, but I would say, you know, heartfelt on his part, effort to give others perspectives that they probably need, like not shy away from things
in a very readable way.
In a very readable way.
It's not lectury at all. You feel like you're talking to a friend as the best title.
Jeff Ruby sticks out.
Oh, he brought the bus.
And then when we were talking about
yes, he did.
His, you know, moving the steakhouse
yeah.
to its current location on Fountain Square, and his daughter Brittany was with him. I was laughing because she was nervous the whole time, worried what her dad was going to say. And when he started talking about like how much it costs for the, I don't remember exactly the piano with the gold inlay or the pearl and all these things. And she's,
that
you know,
piano is fabulous.
It is. She was like, Dad, I don't think you should be saying that. And he's like, why?
I don't want people I'm going to say what I want to say. Chef Ruby. Yeah, that was awesome.
Watching that father daughter dynamic, you know, and watching like, you know, Jeff, who started his restaurants and now turning it over to his daughter, and just watching how that dynamic was playing, and just that those conversations that you can't get anywhere else are, I think, what I like about this podcast.
This was a different. This is another two others that stuck out to me. Bob Taft, we had him. Cherry, you did a great job getting him. That's someone we hadn't heard from in years, and he was fantastic.
He was.
And we talked about Trump and just today's politics, and to have his perspective on it again.
Have him on again.
Again, someone we hadn't heard from a while, who came from a different generation of the Republican Party, to share from his generation perspective to what today's party is, was really great stuff. And one other one that I listed that stood out to me, and it wasn't an outside guess, but it was Paul Daugherty and I. We had both taken very hard stances on the stadium issue, completely the opposite. He had taken a swipe at mine in his column, and I wasn't real happy about it.
You were
and
not.
So Paul Daner, I believe, got us both in the podcast
booth.
It was you.
Wait, you guys, we now
was that you
in
that,
the new office, which you've heard us talk about, is a much larger studio space. But we used to have, like in the early days of podcasting, like this soundproof booth
with like foam on the walls.
Like if Jason and I moved, we would touch each other. Like we're really good friends, so it doesn't matter. But like it was very close quarters.
You're oversharing right now, Sherry, but that's okay.
And the three of us, shoved into that. I thought like it was like a phone booth, but.
So
you had a really good conversation.
Great conversation. The listeners really embraced it. It did really well. And I was like, that to me was like what you would hope for. Because we weren't going to write that. You know, like how can you express our boat, but bringing us both together? Like this was the perfect forum for it. And Doc was great. Though he was wrong, he was great.
and you get the last word on that.
Yes, you do. Oh, he was a great. He was just on. Too, he was so. Put in the Sports Hall of Fame, the local Sports Hall of Fame. He was a great guest, just going through all his years. I do want to just kind of mention in these years since the podcast started, five of our guests have passed away. Some of them were part of my daily reporting lives. Some of them meant a lot to me that we were able to do it. So in my daily reporting lives, Bridget Kelly, which you wrote a lot about when you had your politics column, and
God
Todd Fortune have passed away. And those deaths were really hard in going to those funerals. But they were both great guests.
And and I went to Todd's office, I believe, to
we did.
Do that episode.
We did.
Yeah.
Because God he really him. Wasn't able to get around as much. Jean Robert. Which my very first week here, I went to Jean Robert's. And so to like really sit down and have a big conversation with him was so great. Jerry Springer, that was like for me, talking to him, of course, famous.
This is like the in memoriam part of the Oscars right now, Sherry.
I believe that was during COVID as well. I'm pretty sure we did that during COVID.
Yes, because it was on the phone.
Yeah.
We do try and have everyone in the office, but there was a very phone period. Silent Phil is like, thank God that's over, because I don't have to tell Sherry to talk closer to the phone all the time. And then Pete Robes has passed away. So the five of them, which is really, they have gone too soon, really, for all of them.
Well, on that dreary note.
No, we have to end on a happy note. Because what is the most important part of this podcast is the very end segment. That's So Cincinnati. It is where the cheerleading comes in. We have a moment every week, and sometimes they are very hard to come up with. Anyone who's planning events in Cincinnati, February, it's a tough month. It's a tough month to come up with things. And I'm always like, oh, well, we just can skip it this week. And Burl is always like, no, we're not skipping a whole segment of the podcast.
Because, you know, repeatable, friendly, familiar format.
But it is a part where we really just got to talk about our favorite things.
I think there's so many Cincinnati moments. I don't even know which like to talk about.
There's some weeks we struggle. You're just forgetting.
I mean, there's always something that's Cincinnati going on.
All right, even if it's get back to me in February, Burl. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. even if it's like, you know, like I think it's that it's so Cincinnati that people don't know how to zipper when they're getting on and off a highway ramp.
Totally, this is true.
And it's amplified because of the, you know, the southbound lane of 471 over the Daniel Carter Beer Bridge.
We were just talking about this, and I feel
like
we're going to.
I've been seeing the worst driving of all time in Cincinnati because of this.
The day after we recorded the last podcast.
That's so Cincinnati.
Where you were explaining what was going on, because I never have the opportunity to go south on 71 at that time of day in rush hour.
On 471.
I'm here. Yeah. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes right. I work from home on the west side.
Right.
The next day, Burl, didn't I drive into that traffic stupidly? You had just warned us not to do it. And I saw exactly what you were talking about. And people driving all the way up and cutting in. It was a mess. And people were screeching
and
to
it's
all.
So Cincinnati.
Never again.
So Cincinnati. I can give a shout out to all the longtime listeners and all the changes that we've had in the podcast and for those folks who have stuck with it, and it's awesome. Well, particularly, I hear from people and to this day, like last week, this guy, Chris in Wyoming, lives in Wyoming where I live, run into him every once in a while. Every time I run into him, he always tells me about the latest That's So Cincinnati podcast. And I know he's been there since day one. And I saw him last week. We were at some kids' basketball thing and he's like, hey, I'm still listening to That So Cincinnati. So,
you know what? I think you need to bring him a mug. You can just throw it in the back of your truck and then you
Let's
can have
it.
For sure. You know, I was at Kroger once and just shopping, ball cap on, trying to be, you know, mind my own business. And this guy walks by me and he's got his AirPods in and he looks at me and does a double take. And then he pulls his AirPods out and he goes, I'm listening to you right now. Are you Burl?
Oh, cool.
And I was
gosh.
Like, no. No, I fessed up to it. But
That's cool.
And I want to thank Paul Daner Jr. You
for
know,
the idea.
We actually invited him. He's too busy for us, but that's okay. He's got a lot going on. He left us to go to The Athletic, where his career has just blossomed. And he's got, you know, a podcast that he's doing, and he's just very busy. But thank you, Paul Daner Jr., for having the idea, selling us on it, getting it going, leaving it in the capable hands of me and Sherry.
Yes.
Hopefully haven't screwed it up too much.
Yes, and Jason for all
the... Oh, yeah. Well, we know Jason
and I had some good moments because we would write the story afterwards together.
And Jason's still around. When one of us is unable, yep. You know, we tap him in.
Oh, he's very much a part of our family still.
All right. Well, before this podcast goes 300 minutes and producer Phil starts waving his hands at us.
His feet are up, I think.
He's like,
can we get to the cake here, guys? Come on.
I think it's time for the cake. So, Sherry, should we wrap it up?
Absolutely.
All right.
Here's to 300 more.
You need your outro, Sherry.
Oh.
Every week, people. Don't stop, Phil. Every week we do the same outro. And Sherry's not ready.
You notice I was reporting earlier and doing all of that.
I haven't.
For That's So Cincinnati podcast, I'm Burl Love.
No, we don't do it that
way. Oh, you're
a
radio voice. Of course, Jason is now, you know.
Yes, you can listen to Jason on WLW. Who says it like
sometimes
that, Jason?
Sometimes filling in. Mike McConnell.
Mike McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is cool because with all those W's, you don't want to be like WL, dub, 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 dub. So he really articulates
WLW.
I love that. Are you ready now?
Are you going to have some song lyrics? Because that one thing we didn't mention is, especially when Jason was here, music is a very big part of this podcast.
You know what?
And I
can't believe we didn't talk about Richard Marx. If not for this podcast, the world would not know that there's at least one big time Richard Marx fan. R. Marx, as you call him, Jason.
One of the highlights of my adult life, certainly. Like maybe my whole life was Richard Marx liked one of my tweets once.
I remember that. Jason has two kids, by the way.
It's funny because, you know, if you read Jason and you've met Jason, you know, you've got a kind of like a hard ass vibe to you sometimes. Wait, Jason, I'm not going to lie. Like man, if I were to pick like your favorite music artist of all time, you know, I would lean into like, you know, Van Halen or like AC/DC, you know, but Richard Marx, man, like the king of the power ballad.
Richard Marx, you too.
Wherever you go, whatever you... No,
I know you guys, I cannot sing a note, and so I've dragged it down. But that was a very big part of the podcast for a long time. And Burl is an amazing singer, even though
really.
He says he's not.
I've witnessed
you with Bronson Arroyo, also a past guest.
If not for Bronson Arroyo being on the guest, we wouldn't have had the Burl and Bronson act at the Paint the Grail prank. I mean, yeah. And if our listeners don't know what that's all about, that's a good thing. That doesn't need to be. Anyway,
yeah.
I think it's time to wrap this up because, I mean, I don't want the 300th episode to go 300 minutes long.
Just have like an epilogue.
Right. So are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day, you fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a rating and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism, and I know you do, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer for new subscribers kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown, waiting for someone or something to show you the way.
Thanks again for listening. And see you over the next 300.